Departure with a Belly. Chapter 121. After the car left the premises of the Cadogan Group, Victoria felt the eerie feeling disappear. But even so, the feeling from earlier still made Victoria extremely uncomfortable. After the car drove out, she couldn't help but turn her head to look back at the dense forest. Was there someone there, or was she just being too sensitive lately? Recently, she had been hitching rides with Alaric to and from work. She was always by his side wherever he went, but nothing strange had happened. But that moment just now was really bizarre. "What's wrong?" Alaric's voice came from the side, bringing Victoria back to her senses. She jerked her head back and shook it. "Nothing." Victoria pursed her red lips, thinking that maybe she was just anxious because Griselda was going to have surgery soon, which might be causing her to be paranoid. Alaric glanced at her and saw that her complexion wasn't as good as when she left the house, so he looked in the direction that Victoria had been staring at through the rearview mirror. She had been looking in that direction the whole time. Nevertheless, Alaric took a few glances but didn't see anything special. In the end, Alaric thought that she was behaving as such because she was worried about Griselda. Perhaps, it was because of the past events that left a shadow on her. Alaric's eyes darkened, and he gradually slowed down the car. After the car had gone far away, a figure walked out from the dense forest. Christopher threw his cigarette on the ground and stomped on it with his foot, then took out his phone and called Elaine. "You need to think of a way to get Alaric away from her." Elaine was still with Claudia. As Griselda was going to have surgery that afternoon, Elaine planned to send a message to Christopher after Griselda was taken into the operating room and then have him take action. She just didn't expect that Christopher would contact her first. So, she frowned and said, "What do you mean? How can I make a move without getting the man next to her away?" There was a deep murderous intent in Christopher's eyes. He suspected that Victoria was wary of him since he bumped into her that day. Because of that, she had not only not gone downstairs during the day but also never gone out alone these past few days. In fact, Christopher didn't plan to make a move on her these past few days, he just wanted to familiarize himself with her movements and the times when she would be alone, but he didn't expect that she would be with Alaric all this time. If he was supposed to make a move today and there was no occasion when she was alone, then he couldn't do anything either. After Elaine heard his words, she understood what Christopher meant. "I got it. I'll figure something out." After hanging up the phone, Elaine went into the hospital room. Claudia had been holding her phone since she woke up as if her phone was some precious treasure. "What's wrong? Who was looking for you?" Claudia asked, looking up. Elaine thought carefully and didn't tell her it was Christopher who had contacted him, but instead asked, "Old Mrs. Cadogan is having surgery, don't you want to go see her?" When Claudia was asked about visiting Griselda in the hospital, her eyes dimmed a bit. "I do want to." But, she thought of what Alaric had said to her that day. Instantly, she felt depressed. "If Mr. Cadogan doesn't let you go, you can go on your own," Elaine encouraged her. "You're injured now, and if you just sneak out to the hospital to take a peek, I think Mr. Cadogan won't refuse, right?" After Elaine said that, Claudia was a bit tempted. The most crucial thing was that Claudia had eavesdropped behind the door when Elaine went out to make a phone call earlier. If Christopher was going to make a move today and had to get Alaric out of the way, then he would indeed need her help. But she couldn't agree too quickly, lest Elaine catch on. Thinking of this, Claudia only showed a slightly tempted expression but didn't answer quickly. Seeing her expression, Elaine continued persuading, "Claudia, surgery is a big deal. You want to run out because you care too much. Besides, Alaric is going to divorce Victoria and be with you anyway. If old Mrs. Cadogan finds out that you were sick but still went out to see her, she will definitely be touched." Claudia hesitated. "What you're saying seems to make sense. Right. Well, I'll think about it. Okay. Griselda's surgery is in the afternoon, so take your time." By the afternoon, Claudia told Elaine, "I thought about it and I think you're right. I'll do as you say." With this, a shy smile appeared on Claudia's lips. "I plan to go later, but the hospital staff probably won't let me out. Can you help me then?" "Of course." Elaine smirked triumphantly. This was the result she wanted, and Claudia's willingness to cooperate was great. With that, she went out to call Christopher and told him she had it under control, he just had to wait for the right moment. After coordinating with Christopher, all they had to do was wait. 58% before the surgery, Griselda went through various preparations. Currently, she was lying quietly in bed with Victoria and Mary by her side. "You two don't have to stare at me all the time. Go rest on the side. Aren't you tired?" Mary laughed. "We're just accompanying you. Why would we be tired?" Victoria nodded in agreement. 7/0 Just before entering the operating room, Victoria became tense. She held Griselda's hand, unconsciously tightening her grip. Griselda felt the force on her hand and looked at her. Victoria immediately forced a smile, but even so, Griselda could feel the stiffness in her smile. "Grandma, don't be afraid. We'll be waiting for you outside, so just sleep well and everything will be okay when you wake up." When Griselda heard her, she noticed that Victoria's voice was trembling slightly. "You silly girl," Griselda's heart was warm. She reached out to hold Victoria's hand back. "I'm not afraid, so don't worry. You and Alaric will be waiting outside for me anyway." "Yeah. Grandma, you must come out safely. I'll be waiting for you." "Okay." As Griselda was about to enter the operating room, Victoria still tightly held Griselda's hand, as if in a daze. She didn't move until Alaric came forward to hold her delicate wrist and encircle her waist with one hand. "Grandma is going into surgery now. Don't worry. She will be fine." His voice was deep as he spoke right next to Victoria's ear. After he finished speaking, he pulled Victoria's hand back. Victoria let go of Griselda's wrist, but her gaze still remained fixed on Griselda's face. 9/9, Grandma," she murmured. "Don't worry, Victoria. I'll be fine," Griselda reassured her. Finally, Griselda was pushed into the operating room. If it weren't for Alaric holding her back, Victoria would have rushed up to talk to Griselda again. In the end, Victoria realized she could wait until after the surgery to talk to her. After thinking it over, Victoria sat back down and nervously twisted her fingers, waiting anxiously for Griselda. Chapter 122. The operating room lights soon lit up, and family members were left waiting outside. Alaric pulled Victoria to sit on a chair by the side. Although Victoria sat down, for some reason, she had a very ominous feeling. She furrowed her brows uncomfortably. She had felt that something wasn't quite right all morning, but she had been so focused on Griselda that she hadn't paid attention to anything else. Moreover, the person sitting beside her, Alaric, had been holding her wrist. Ever since they entered the room, his grip was strong, and the warmth from his hand constantly reassured her. If it weren't for Alaric, she would have been even more anxious. While she was lost in thought, Alaric's phone, which he had put on silent, began to vibrate. Since Griselda had entered the operating room, Alaric had put his phone on silent mode, and everyone at the company knew that Griselda was having surgery and not to disturb him. The only person who would call him at this time was Victoria. Unconsciously looked at Alaric. Alaric pursed his thin lips and looked back at her for a moment before taking out his phone. Sure enough, Claudia's name appeared on the screen. When Victoria saw Claudia's name, for some reason, she bit her lip. At this point, he couldn't possibly still answer Claudia's call, right? Just as she was lost in thought, Mary, who was sitting opposite her, suddenly spoke up. "You still haven't turned off your phone at this time." Mary's words echoed Victoria's thoughts. At that moment, she also turned to look at Alaric. She wasn't sure if it was Mary's words that made him realize it or if Alaric himself knew that it was inappropriate to answer Claudia's call at this time, but he hung up the phone. Mary looked away, no longer paying attention to him. Victoria felt relieved in her heart. At the same time, she wanted to pull her hand back, but Alaric not only did not let go but tightened his grip. She frowned and looked at him. "I'm holding on," Alaric said coldly. "So, you won't be afraid?" Victoria was speechless. Who said she was afraid? Nevertheless, with his hand holding hers, she did feel a little safer. However, she had promised Claudia not to have any intimate actions with 3.9 him. Holding hands counted as intimate actions, right? "Griselda has always been a fortunate person," Alaric said again. After hearing Alaric's words, Victoria snapped back to reality, realizing that even if it was an intimate gesture, she couldn't afford to think of anything else at this moment. She nodded. "I know. Are you cold?" Alaric suddenly asked. Victoria shook her head. The next moment, Alaric let go of her hand. At that moment, Victoria felt as if a weight had been lifted from her heart. But this feeling didn't last long because Alaric took off his jacket and draped it over her. The warm and refreshing scent of the jacket enveloped Victoria's body, and she was momentarily taken aback. She had just said that she wasn't cold, so why did he? Just then, Alaric sat down beside her again and took her wrist in his hand. Once more. Victoria was speechless. She didn't say anything in front of Adrian and Mary. Then, everyone waited in silence outside the operating room. But unfortunately, it didn't last long. About 10 minutes later, Alaric's phone vibrated again in his pocket, and Victoria could feel it clearly since she was wearing his jacket. She looked at Alaric subconsciously and their eyes met. "Your phone is ringing again. Are you going to answer it?" she asked. Alaric pursed his lips and then said, "It's in your hands now." "What does he mean? Does he want me to take the initiative and answer the phone?" 5/9 At first, Victoria could pretend to ignore it and let Alaric answer it himself. But after the phone kept vibrating in his jacket pocket, she became annoyed. "Would you blame me if I turn off your phone and you subsequently miss anything important?" she asked Alaric. Alaric's gaze fixed on her face. "Have I ever blamed you before?" His words caught Victoria off guard. "Okay, it's you against your words. I'll turn off your phone then. It's been annoying me," she said, taking his phone out of his pocket. It was quiet now, but Victoria could see from the screen that Claudia had called him 4 or 5 times. Why now? Why was she calling him now? Did she want to ask Alaric about Grandma's surgery? As Victoria was thinking about this, Alaric's phone vibrated again. But this time, it wasn't a call. It was a message, and Victoria could see it clearly. "Mr. Cadogan, this is Elaine. I've been calling you, but you haven't answered. I don't know if something has delayed you from answering my calls, but I have something urgent to tell you. Claudia has run away. I don't know where she went, and she's injured. She left her phone in the ward, and I can't find her anywhere. I'm very worried. If you see this message, please help me find Claudia." Although the message was long, Victoria read it quickly. "Claudia is missing? At this crucial moment? How could she disappear?" Victoria's brows furrowed, and she looked at Alaric. Meanwhile, Alaric was still looking in the direction of the operating room and didn't notice her. If she pretended not to have seen this message, turned off the phone, and Alaric asked her about it later, she could say she didn't see it and he wouldn't be able to blame her. Moreover, even if she saw it, he couldn't do anything to her. After all, it was he himself who had said that the phone was in her own hands and it was up to her to decide. Besides, even if Claudia was injured, she was an adult and had her own plans. She could take care of herself, right? Even if something happened, it was her own fault. Victoria held the phone in her hand, building herself up mentally. After some time, Alaric turned his head toward her and saw that she was still holding the phone. He asked, "Did you turn it off?" Upon hearing this, Victoria gradually came back to her senses. She looked at him slowly and then bit her lip before saying, "There's a message that I think you should see no matter what." After speaking, Victoria handed the phone to Alaric. Despite all the mental preparation she had tried to make, it seemed like she couldn't ignore the message after all. Claudia had injuries on her face. What if she did something irrational? Moreover, Victoria had feelings for Alaric, and Claudia saved him. Deep down, Victoria was grateful to Claudia as well. If it weren't for Claudia, she probably would never see Alaric again. "You should go and check it out," she said softly. Chapter 123. When Victoria handed over the phone, Alaric also saw the content. Victoria clearly saw his pupil's contract, It was probably because he was worried about Claudia running away. She turned her face away, wanting to take off her jacket to give it back to him. But at this moment, she heard Alaric say, "I'll go out for a while." Although she had guessed this, hearing him say it himself felt different. Victoria said softly, "Okay." She then stood up to take off her jacket to give it back to him. Alaric's gaze changed as he held her hand. "No need. Just wear it. I'll be back in an hour." "But it's cold outside," Victoria protested. "I am a man." Alaric's voice was firm. "You wear it. I'll be back soon." Then, he looked at the light outside the operating room. "There's still an hour to go for the surgery. I'll come back before that. Call me if you need anything." Victoria pursed her lips and spoke softly, "Okay. Let your parents know." Alaric nodded. Then, he let go of her hand and went to find Adrian and Mary. When Mary heard that he was going out, she immediately glared at him in displeasure. "What are you thinking? Do you know what's going on right now? Do you even care about your grandmother?" Alaric pursed his lips, staying silent under the reprimand. Seeing him lowering his head and remaining silent, Mary poked his chest. "What are you going to do?" He didn't speak, but his expression clearly indicated that he was going out. Seeing this, Mary sneered. "Did Victoria agree to let you go?" Alaric finally looked up and nodded. Mary couldn't believe it. "What? She actually agreed?" Then, she looked at Victoria and made a sarcastic remark. "She's so generous. She actually agreed to let her husband go out and look for some other woman at this critical moment." Victoria felt her ears turn red at Mary's sarcasm, which was the first time she had ever experienced it. Alaric frowned slightly. "I have something important to do." "What could be more important than your grandmother?" "Claudia is missing and I need to find her." Hearing Claudia's name, Mary hesitated for a moment. She really didn't like her son's attitude toward Claudia, but unfortunately, Claudia had done them a great favor. When it came to a benefactor, she couldn't bring herself to say anything unkind. She asked, "Why did Claudia go missing? What happened to her?" "She suffered severe injuries to her face and will be scarred. She's not in a good state of mind lately," Alaric said, looking at the time. When Mary heard that Claudia had suffered serious injuries to her face, as someone who cared about her appearance, she was at a loss for words. If she was also injured on her face, she would probably go crazy. "I'll leave first," Alaric said, seeing that Mary and Adrian weren't saying anything else. Looking at his back, Mary could only say, "Come back soon, and if necessary, let your assistant find someone to help you search for her." In response to her, Alaric merely disappeared from view. When he left, Mary said helplessly, "Why does it have to be Claudia? We can't say anything about her. If we do, we'll seem ungrateful." She sat down and sighed. Adrian reached out and stroked her head indulgently. "Don't think too much. Fate has its own plan." Mary glared at him petulantly. "What are you saying?" Adrian just smiled and said nothing. Mary thought of something and said to Adrian, "You stay here. I'll go over to Victoria." Okay. Victoria sat there wearing Alaric's jacket while looking at Mary walking toward her with a helpless expression. Sure enough, after Mary sat down next to her, Mary asked, "Doesn't it hurt to watch him go find another woman? Aren't you heartbroken?" Victoria could only faintly reply, "He's just going to find her and not do anything else." "Are you sure it's just like that?" Victoria remained silent. "You are husband and wife, sometimes you don't need to be so understanding. If you feel jealous, feel jealous. If you're always too accommodating, he might think you don't really love him." Yes, Victoria understood this principle. But, their marriage was fake from the beginning, so did she have the right to feel jealous? Seeing that Victoria didn't say anything, Mary suddenly felt a bit frustrated. "All right, forget it. As long as you two don't have any problems. As an elder, I won't say much." After speaking, Mary got up and returned to Adrian's side. Victoria looked up and saw that after Mary left, Adrian carefully helped her sit down and adjusted her collar, full of affection throughout the process. Love for someone truly could not be hidden. Sometimes, she envied Adrian and Mary's love for each other. In this world, couples who loved each other and could stay together for a long time without diminishing love were really rare. When she was young and secretly liked Alaric, she also thought of them as being like Adrian and Mary. But because of her father's failed relationship, Victoria felt that love was not so beautiful anymore. However, when she saw Adrian and Mary, she felt that she could do it too. Still, fantasies were just fantasies, and reality was far from it. She was her father's daughter, so her fate would probably end up like her father's. She would not be getting a happy ending in love, right? Thinking of this, Victoria could only sigh in her heart. After a moment, she suddenly felt nauseous, probably because she hadn't eaten much in the morning, and she even felt that the air here was stuffy. She wanted to go outside and take a breather. Victoria stood up and said to Adrian and Mary, "Dad, Mom, I'm going to the restroom." Upon hearing this, Mary immediately looked at her. "Going to the restroom? Do you want me to accompany you?" Victoria shook her head. "I can go by myself." "All right, be careful." As Victoria looked a little weak, Mary was a bit worried about her. "Okay." Victoria smiled at her and then walked outside. When she got to the door, she suddenly remembered that she still hadn't taken off Alaric's jacket. Nevertheless, she was too lazy to go back, so she just draped the jacket over herself. The air in the hallway was chilly, and Victoria subconsciously tightened the jacket around her. To be honest, the weather had been getting colder recently. She looked out the window and guessed that it would snow in Gondra soon. As she was thinking, footsteps approached from behind. Many people came and went to hospitals, so Victoria didn't think much of it. But when she heard the footsteps getting closer and the same creepy feeling from this morning returned, she sensed that something was wrong and wanted to turn around. A pair of hands suddenly wrapped around her from behind, covering her mouth and nose. Then, a strange smell came over her. Soon, darkness washed over her and she lost consciousness. Chapter 124. When Victoria woke up, she was in an abandoned warehouse. Her head felt heavy, her body was limp and weak. Victoria surveyed her surroundings and realized she was in an abandoned warehouse filled with the damp, putrid smell of decay. Her hands and feet were tied separately, and the warehouse was cluttered with discarded cardboard boxes. She already had an idea of the culprit behind this. Victoria pursed her lips and took a deep breath. She didn't feel any pain in her stomach, so she breathed a sigh of relief. She was worried that they had injured her, but except for where the ropes had been tied tightly on her, she didn't feel any pain. Suddenly, she heard a noise outside the warehouse. The heavy iron door was pushed open, and the room was filled with light. Christopher walked in carrying a bag and closed the door behind him, plunging the warehouse back into darkness. Bang! He walked over to Victoria, dropped the bag next to her, and crouched in front of her. Victoria stared at him calmly. After a moment, Christopher said, "I can remove the tape from your mouth, but if you dare scream, it will make me angry, and I will knock you out immediately." Victoria hesitated for a moment, then nodded in agreement. Christopher peeled the tape off her mouth, and Victoria instantly felt her breathing become smoother. Still, the smell in the warehouse was so bad that she didn't take deep breaths. Her reaction surprised Christopher. "Aren't you afraid?" he asked. Victoria looked at him and asked calmly, "If I said I am, would you let me go?" "No, well, then." Victoria leaned against the cardboard boxes behind her and remained silent. Her hair was disheveled, and her face, pale from the cold, looked clean but haggard. Her hair covered most of her face, making her look even more sallow. Christopher watched her in silence. She was undeniably beautiful, but she had a poisonous heart. "What should I do with you?" Christopher finally asked. "You hurt Claudia, and I have to get revenge on you. However, you're the only child from the wealthy families I've met who recognized me at first sight and knew my name. Ever since he started school, Christopher had been looked down upon because of his identity. People never even looked at him directly. Unexpectedly, Victoria called him by his name and recognized him. Immediately. He felt like he had finally become someone with a real identity. But she was the one who hurt Claudia. So, Christopher had been struggling with what to do with her." Victoria surprised him by asking calmly, "Did Claudia tell you I hurt her?" Christopher narrowed his eyes and shook his head. "Of course not. How could Claudia just come out and say something like that?" "Then it was her companion who told you." "You're very smart." "It was her companion." "So what? You don't think that just because Claudia didn't say it directly, you're not responsible for harming her, do you?" Victoria looked at Christopher and suddenly asked, "You like Claudia, don't you?" His feelings for Claudia were well known in school, so Christopher didn't deny it. "So what if I do? If I don't like her, why would I kidnap you for her? Does that mean you're willing to sacrifice yourself for her and seek revenge on me? What did you say?" When Victoria spoke, she didn't look at him but gazed out the window. Her voice was faint as she continued, "I remember the last time you told me that you believe that we think you have no value to society." When Christopher heard this, his eyes contracted. "Do you remember what I asked you then?" "I asked, What do you think is helpful to society? Is this your answer? Christopher stood still in shock. Seeing him like this, Victoria sneered. Or maybe you've created value for yourself. After hearing from Claudia's friend that I harmed Claudia, did you investigate the truth at all? *investigate. Christopher had never thought of such a thing, let alone that Victoria would point out a new direction for him. Victoria looked at him with amusement. So, you never thought of investigating and just came to kidnap me, right? Then let me ask you, what about after the kidnapping? Do you think the police won't find you? Hearing this, Christopher coldly said, "Are you talking about the surveillance? Do you think I didn't prepare in advance?" "No, I'm not talking about surveillance." Victoria shook her head. Ever since Victoria had dealings with Claudia, who returned to the country, she had gained some insights. Moreover, with the phone call Alaric received in front of the operating room today, Victoria suddenly realized that this was actually a game set up by Claudia. Negotiations, promises. All of that was non-existent. Claudia was wary of the child in her belly. As long as she was pregnant, she couldn't stay calm even for a day. Despite that, she didn't want to be labeled as an evil person. Since she couldn't get her hands dirty, someone else needed to do it. Last time it was Elaine at the farewell party, this time it was Christopher in front of Victoria. Even Alaric was included in her schemes. The entire disappearance and leaving only a phone at the hospital were all part of her carefully orchestrated plan, weren't they? If it's not surveillance, then what is it? Christopher asked curiously. He couldn't figure it out. He felt like the woman in front of him was speaking in riddles with a chime. Victoria snapped out of her thoughts and said in a soft voice, "I'm talking about the unpredictability of human nature." Christopher was speechless. It took him a while to figure out what she meant. "Are you saying that someone will expose me?" he asked. "I didn't say that," Victoria replied with a flat expression. "But wrongdoings always require someone to bear the unfortunate consequences." Her words made Christopher understand. Victoria looked up and met Christopher's gaze. "Everyone is born equal, and I have never looked down on you." Christopher pursed his lips. If these words had come from anyone else, he would have found them laughable. Yet, these words came from Victoria. After so many years, she still remembered his name. Christopher still sneered, "Do you think saying these things will make me let you go? Whether you let me go or not is up to you to decide. I just want to ask you, have you really decided to sacrifice yourself for Claudia? Even if you don't mind ending up going to prison in her place, does it not matter to you if you become a person who not only has no value to society but also has the potential to cause harm?" Chapter 125. Griselda underwent surgery, and there was no assurance that Adrian and Mary would notice her absence in time. Even if they did, they probably wouldn't be able to intervene. Meanwhile, Claudia had taken Alaric away, and their current whereabouts were unknown. So, Victoria could only try to save herself. She had been deeply affected by Christopher's mocking remark from their previous meeting, and she could tell from what he said today that he cared a great deal about what others thought of him. Hence, She realized that this might be a way to manipulate him and find an opportunity to escape for herself. After she spoke, he fell into silence, obviously deep in thought. Before coming here, he had been hot-headed and only wanted to defend his lover. However, when she made it clear what the consequences of his actions would be, he hesitated. Despite his denial, he had to concede that she was right. Moreover, someone needed to take the blame, he was the most obvious candidate. When Victoria saw Christopher suddenly become aware of the situation and absorbed in thought, she realized she was on the right track to save herself. He appears to be even more concerned with his reputation than I had anticipated. Everyone has their weaknesses. At that thought, she felt a sense of contentment. You don't want to do this, do you? Her voice was soft and almost magical. You're young and have a bright future ahead of you. You shouldn't give up everything for love. After hearing that, he seemed to snap out of his indecision and suddenly glared at her. That's a pretty way of saying you want me to let you go. His hostile gaze startled her, but she quickly regained her composure. Yes, I want you to let me go, but my request is for my sake. What about yours? What about my request? Christopher's gaze was ice cold as he glared at Victoria and suddenly changed his tone. You hurt Claudia. How can you ask me to let you go? Have you investigated this? She inquired instead of answering him. When he heard that, he pursed his lips and remained silent. So, you haven't verified anything and have simply believed that I'm guilty based on one person's account, she said bitterly, a sad smile forming on. I only love Claudia, her fair face. In that case, what's the point of arguing with you? She then lowered her gaze and looked like she had no intention of speaking any further. After seeing Victoria's reaction, Christopher narrowed his eyes in suspicion. A. Are you truly innocent of hurting Claudia? He actually wanted to believe her. After all, anybody who remembers my name is probably not that bad. Of course, she replied with utmost seriousness. I would never do something like that. As he was contemplating her words, someone pounded loudly on the warehouse door. Christopher, don't believe this woman. She's lying to you, a familiar voice from outside said. Victoria immediately recognized Elaine's voice, who had become enemies with her. Then, Victoria's eyebrows knitted together. When he heard Elaine's knocking, his expression changed, and after glancing uncertainty at Victoria, he turned to open the warehouse door. As soon as the door opened, Elaine rushed in. When she saw Victoria in a sorry state, lying amidst piles of cardboard boxes, she smiled with satisfaction. Victoria, you've had your comeuppance. What are you doing here? Christopher asked Elaine, looking displeased. He probably didn't expect her to show up. Elaine glared at him in response and uttered, "If I hadn't shown up, you probably would have let the perpetrator who injured Claudia get away scot-free, right?" Exposed by her, he couldn't hide his embarrassment. Then, he gritted his teeth and said, "What does this have to do with you? Why wouldn't it? I'm Claudia's good friend. If you can seek justice for her, why can't I?" she retorted. After hearing that, Christopher couldn't help but sneer, "If you want to seek justice for her, don't use me." Get out. Get out. That's impossible. As Elaine spoke, she kicked Victoria with her foot. Victoria's face changed instantly when she saw the incoming kick, and she quickly curled up her body. Bam! Elaine's flying foot hit Victoria's leg directly. At that moment, Victoria felt a wave of pain wash over her, and tears welled up in her eyes. What are you doing? Christopher's face changed drastically, and he rushed forward to pull Elaine away before she kicked Victoria again. Are you crazy? Although she had lost her mind, her strength was not comparable to an adult man's, and he quickly drew her away. You're the crazy one. You have already caught her, and you are still here pretending? What, are you infatuated with this woman because she's pretty? She taunted him while crossing her arms in front of her chest. You always said that you would retaliate 100 times against anyone who hurt Claudia. Now the person is right in front of you. What are you going to do? Christopher was speechless by her remarks. Then, he looked at Victoria, curled up among the cardboard boxes, and frowned. She appears in bad shape after Elaine gave her a brutal kick earlier. On the other hand, Elaine had been watching by the side, and when she saw him looking at Victoria for a long time without doing anything, she sneered and said, "What's the matter? Haven't made up your mind yet, or are you pitying her?" He didn't say anything and just stared at Victoria quietly, seemingly making a decision. However, Victoria noticed he wasn't completely hopeless, so she endured the pain and said, "Christopher, she just wants to use you to get back at me. If you leave now, she won't dare to hurt me." How could he not understand what Victoria meant? She implied that if he left and something happened to her, Elaine would be responsible. That was why Elaine wouldn't dare to do anything. Don't talk nonsense. You should be thankful that Christopher is here, or else you wouldn't even have the chance to speak, Elaine retorted. Is that so? Victoria leaned against the cardboard box, panting lightly with beads of sweat on her pale forehead. Then, tell Christopher to leave and stay here yourself. If anything happens to me, let's see if you can escape. You. Elaine was struck by her words. She felt embarrassed and angry, but then she quickly came up with an idea. She sneered and said, "Right, I can't run away, and I don't plan on running away. So, we still have a lot of time left. Victoria, how about we play a game?" Victoria looked at her expressionlessly. After saying that, Elaine walked toward her but was stopped by Christopher halfway. "What are you doing?" Tisk. Elaine squinted and stared at Victoria. "You're pretty good, aren't you? Not only did you make Alaric fall for you, but you also seduced Christopher. Are you trying to steal everything that belongs to Claudia from her?"